FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Morning, and away we go. Glad to have you here on this Thursday. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Heads up from our friends at Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. What's up, Manassas? They have an event for animal lovers and wine lovers. You can show your appreciation for both at exactly the same time. Yeah, Cottage Hill Package combining two great events in one here. Friday, tomorrow night, Cottage Hill Package partnering with Save a Stray for wine tasting and charity auction. Second year they've done this. For a $5 donation at the door, all of which goes to Save a Stray, you enjoy samples of delicious wines, snack on finger foods, plus they got door prizes, and a silent auction on wine and craft beer baskets, and special guest, the Save a Stray dogs will be there, so you can pet them and check them out. You could sample the dogs while you sample the wine. It's taking place in the lounge there at Cottage Hill Package in the back. It's a wine tasting, food and charity auction. Pretty great sounding items here. Great cause and organization. Save a Stray Mobile. You can sign up also for event notifications by email over at CottageHillPackage.com. Make sure to like them on Facebook so you'll never miss out on any of their great events. Beer, wine, spirits, cigars. You'll never find a better selection anywhere else around than Cottage Hill Package. And one more time, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, Cottage Hill Package, Save a Stray Wine Tasting and Charity Auction. Don't miss it. All right, it's good. We've got a packed house in here this morning. I like this. As we were mentioning last hour, Mobile City Councilman John Williams joining us in studio. Thanks for coming in. I'm going to get you close to that mic.
Yeah, thank you very much, Sean. It's a great day in Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah, there you go. That's a it's a rainy day in Mobile. But I want to ask about this. There's I guess it was Tuesday, probably halfway through the first hour of my midday show. I got a note here with the 10 budget amendments that were made. I want to kind of, before we go into all the details on that, can you describe that process to us? When the budgeting, does the mayor produce a budget and then hand it to y'all and you look at it, or how does that, give us a little civics lesson.
Oh, that's a great time to do this, I think, because it is the mayor's responsibility to produce a budget.
Okay.
He does that through his directors. It's
right.
Fairly simple.
This
you're supposed to
this
go back to zero and determine what your mission is and right. how much it's going to take to do that and how many people you need and equipment. And you develop this budget. And on by law, he's supposed to give that to us on September 20th.
Okay.
He did that.
Okay.
And it's then
so
ours.
Now y'all, all seven of y'all have a copy
then
of
it,
that
yes,
budget.
Then it is the city council's budget to determine whether or not the priorities of the council are met. So okay. The mayor's already illustrated his priorities by presenting a budget to us. Now it's our turn. And we had some differences. And we asked the mayor to attend a committee meeting. We had to have a hearing.
Yeah.
We had the hearing.
Okay.
Not many people came. Okay. A few people talking about being cut, unknown to them, on September 20th. I mean, no notice. And they're about to start their next fiscal year in October. And they got no notice of a 10% cut. That was all the performance contractors.
Okay.
Who
right.
we already cut from $10 million to about $4 million mm-hmm. Several years ago.
Yeah,
and
right.
It was
in
a monumental
first
thing.
In the first term
right.
of Mayor
we did
Simpson.
We did that. That was the council who made those cuts. The mayor didn't make those cuts. We need to go back and look at it. No. He didn't make the cuts. He was going to give the money to the foundation, the Mobile Community Foundation,
right.
for their distribution or United Way. I can't remember what it was, but they decided not to do that, handed it to us. We had to make the cuts.
Okay.
And Joel Daves and LaVon Manzi at that time got together and worked very hard and worked with us individually to get to that point. So
okay.
let's just say that we're here now.
All right, you're right. So
the performance contracts have been cut.
You get the budget.
The performance contracts have been cut 10%, and they don't know it. And I'm talking about Penelope House. I'm talking about ladies that have nowhere else to go. And it wasn't their decision to call Penelope House. They get picked up by the sheriff's department.
Sure.
Because
okay.
they're getting beat up, and their family is there getting beat up. And they have a dangerous situation. And we have decided to cut them 10% without telling them.
Okay.
Now, that's, to me,
what
is
protocol
outrage.
In the past? What is protocol in the past? And you say, and because we're big supporters of Penelope House, but they're not the the only one in this, and I want to kind of go through this. Because in the past, when a cut was coming, when y'all did the cut for the performance contracts back during the first term of Mayor Stimson, you, the council, you just told us you did. Did you tell those organizations that they would be cut?
It was
how
a
much?
Long process. Yeah, we came in and we said, look, we had
sit down
multiple
with me,
meetings,
whatever group it is. Here's what's coming.
Multiple meetings, and we said, "Look, we're going to make some cuts."
Okay.
And we talked to each one of them. We let each one of them plead their cases. We took all their paperwork that was given to the administration during that budget process and looked it over.
Right.
And we told them, there's going to be some cuts."
Okay.
And we did that. And I think
I'm just trying to establish a precedent there.
Look, we make changes all the time. Now, what we can't make changes to is revenue. We can't decide that there's going to be more revenue in this area and less in that area.
Sure,
that's not our job. Our job is about spending and whether or not that's adequate. And we told the mayor, the mayor wasn't there. The mayor was invited to the city council meeting, a committee meeting for the budget, and for whatever reason,
and
couldn't make it.
And this would have been sometime post-September 20th.
No, this was just a week ago in 2 days.
Yeah, post-September, because y'all got the budget on September. You got the budget.
That's right.
Yeah.
So post-September 20th, that's correct. And when it was our job to then pass the budget. So we told him, we told his representation, Mr. Wesch and Mr. Woods, the lawyer for the city, that we were going to restore the library's funding, that unanimously among the council, with one exception, Mr. Days, that we were going to
restore
contracts. Let me go down this.
Yeah.
We were going to give $152,000 to the HBCU football game, which is an unbelievable event and was just this past weekend fantastic, maybe better than any other single day event we have. And we were also going to do some work with restoration with Connie Hudson Senior Center, with VIA, and we wanted to give Public Works employees a raise. Not incentive, we wanted to give them a raise.
Well, the mayor said yesterday that they had already...
That's not, absolutely not true. Absolutely 100% true.
Okay, I'll tell you what, we're up against the news break, because I want to come back. We'll play the comment yesterday from the mayor and have you respond to it, We'll play both side by side. And I want to ask you, a couple other things. So we can go work through the performance contracts. We can also, got to talk about money for LAD in this mix. We got to talk about some of the issues here with the Gulf Quest. Does this mean that we're going to have the feds coming in and we're going to have to cough up the money for the portion that was grant money from the federal government for Gulf Quest? All right, you can do that.
Well, cities all over the nation are being sued by the federal government. It's just, we don't want to go down that road, do we?
All right, coming right back. All right, 820 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here. Good to have Mobile City Councilman John Williams in studio here with us. A packed house, that's a good thing, as we have a lot to talk about here. That on Tuesday, a amended budget signed off on by the City Council, 10 budget amendments in there. And how common is it, Councilman Williams, for a budget that y'all get to come through with no edits? Is that normal, or is it normally
never in the 12 years I've been on the council has there ever been a budget that has been passed without amendments, without multiple amendments, and generally secret amendments within the council? There would always be
secret
factions.
Amendments.
Oh yeah, there'd be people have things coming out of nowhere and deciding that we're going to change it here and change it there. It got changed in the meeting. The difference this year is this council worked together and achieved 6 votes in favor of every single amendment. And Mr. Daves is in France. He's the chairman of the Finance Committee. He knew when the budget was due. And I don't know why he's in France, but he's in France. And, and I hope he's enjoying himself. But that's not here or there. The reason there was a unanimous 6-0 vote is because he was gone.
Do you think the public would be surprised to hear that there's something positive coming out of something attached to City Council? Because it seems that we just hear contention every time there's a disagreement.
Well, this is amazing. And look, we didn't get there in one day. We didn't get there in one day. We all started with what we thought should change. And went day by day, lots of hours of this council working together, we achieved the agreement on 10 amendments. We could have had more. We could have. we chose not to. We wanted to stay focused on those things that were important to the people of Mobile.
All right. And one of these things we're talking about, because I want to get, this kind of blends between two. The performance contracts, and I can go back and play the audio, but we can check it out on the podcast. The Mayor Stimson said, you know, he has nothing against any of these charities. They're doing great works here in the city. He said, but our number, and I'm paraphrasing here because I don't have that, but the number one job that has to be done by the city is public safety and basic services.
Oh, that's just a great way to do it every time. Sean, I could answer every one of your questions by saying police and fire.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do police and fire. We can't do...
Do you disagree?
We can't
with
do
that?
Senior centers because police and fire. We can't have any after-hours meetings because police and fire. And everybody would agree that you just can't... Let's just say this. Was every one of those performance contracts that got cut 10% deserving of a 10% cut? Was that justified? Was it justified that Penelope House got cut 10%? Were they not doing something that the mayor said, you know what, they don't deserve that money, but my communications office needs over $250,000 raise? That's my contention here.
Okay.
Because see, this is not about the funding sources. We'll get back to those, the ones we used. You had room to do $225,000 plus. It's really about $280,000. But for a communications office that was already funded at $600,000.
Right.
Okay, we're almost giving $1 million to his communications office when we could not see anywhere in the budget where we could get $155,000.
With these cuts happening to these organizations that you'll go over in a second, how does that impact the community with those cuts slashing into programs that so many people depend on?
I said it, you know, it's when I think of Penelope House, I think of a battered woman. And I use that as an example because we cannot ignore it. And we can put all the ones together and say, oh, well, maybe that's okay to do a 10% across the board. No, each department needs to be evaluated each year in the budget. Each performance contracts individually need to be measured according to their performance and what it
so
is.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all.
That's absolutely right. You can't do 10% across the board. There's no way.
Okay, well, I want to talk about it. As we're, you're going to get people say these groups do good work for the city. I don't think, you know, you need to have a discussion about whether people agree with them doing good work for the city. But you mentioned funding, and this is part of the questions I asked the mayor yesterday. I'm going to get your response to this. As we mentioned funding for employees of the city, and you had mentioned the public works employees, the mayor, after seeing the budget amendment, said on Twitter, Mayor Stimson said, we are pleased that the council chose to support the administration's decision to improve the pay of our public works employees. While the council claimed credit for the 5% raise, the fact is the administration proposed an increase of more than $800,000 to go towards pay increases. Now, Councilman Williams, you said that was false.
They proposed an incentive program.
Okay.
An incentive program is if you come to work, we'll pay you more. If you do a good job, we'll pay you more.
Uh-huh.
If your boss is happy with you, you get more money.
Yeah, okay.
A raise is completely different. Now this discussion is not about, you asked the question, did he present a raise?
Right.
He presented an incentive program,
okay, so
not to us. Not this is Friday before the finance committee meeting.
Okay.
Friday before the committee meeting, he presented to the personnel board, not to us. He didn't bring it to us and say, this is what I'm going to present to the personnel board.
This didn't come in that. So this one, this
he
was like
threw
an
it
addendum.
To the personnel board.
Wait, just help me here. This was like an addendum to the budget? Or
No, it was hidden somewhere in the budget. We had to ask where it was.
Okay, it was in the
budget. It was budgeted.
Okay.
There was, and I can get you an exact amount, 800,000, okay. 800 something and change here. It was an incentive program.
Okay.
There's a difference between
it was not
giving
guaranteed
me 25 every once in a while, not
right.
guaranteed,
okay.
and giving me a 5% raise. There is a completely different issue. Now, let's realize that, you know, we're being said that we, you know, or it's been said about us that we weren't transparent. The fact is, I laid out everything I did personally at the end of the finance committee meeting. Every single thing that we were going to do and asked the administration to identify funding sources.
Right.
They didn't do so by Wednesday, so we sent a note out. We formed up a letter and we sent it out on Thursday. We didn't hear anything until we didn't hear anything at all. So we had no choice but to identify the funding sources that we saw that were available.
Okay, so this was back to, because I didn't exactly follow when the mayor was saying that he was saying his department had sent you everything you asked for.
I'm going to tell you what, this administration this year gave us more information concerning questions that we had, breakdown of salaries, breakdown of who's where and what's going on. They gave us the amount of money that was going to be in the Public Works incentive program by department. They gave us information. Now, it was when it got down to a critical time and we needed to act, we needed to fund these things that were our priorities, and we asked for a funding source, that we got crickets.
Okay.
We got crickets for a week, 7 days. They had 6 months of working on this budget.
That 6 months
they knew
was good.
They knew about it. No, it was the month. They didn't tell us anything up until August 20th.
Okay.
That's August 20th when everybody found out that they were being cut or not cut or what was being funded. It was complete secrecy up to that point.
Okay, but so it was those
in the last 30 days.
We're going to run out of time, but that's the performance contract. People found out they were being cut August 20th.
Yes, and that's when the council found out that the budget was what it was.
All right, so I got to talk. We've got like 3 minutes here. We got to talk Gulf Quest. Okay, so what happened with the move of money there in Gulf Quest? What is not being funded? What is being funded?
There was 9 city employees at the tune of $496,000.
Okay.
It's $1 million budget. Okay. The city still putting in $500,000 into that facility.
Okay, so for operations, $500,000.
Yes,
coming, and where's the rest of the money coming from?
No. This was had $1 million budget. We're only taking $496,000 of it.
So you're taking half of the budget of Gulf Quest.
That's correct.
Okay.
Now, and it wasn't we want to take it, that we want to shut down Gulf Quest or we want to shut down the IT. But those two subjects needed to be heard, and they're being heard right now.
Yeah, the Gulf Quest thing, though, to me, it seems like it has more to it. I've talked about this on the air since Gulf Quest was started, that when we signed on for the, it was like, you know, I knew the story when the floating dock went in on the Mobile River, and I'm happy that's good, and everybody was excited, but I was the party pooper who said, this is because it's a line item in a federal grant to live up to the federal grant.
Well, we're still not living up to a federal grant.
Well, but let's talk about this, but if Gulf Quest closes, I don't have the stuff
in front
of me.
They're not going to close. We're giving them $500,000, Sean. You're trying to make a point, but the point needs to be maybe 3 minutes. That thing's not going to close down.
Okay, so your belief is, that's a red herring. That's not a true thing. The Gulf Quest will not close down because of the cut.
If they can't live on $500,000, Sean, then I'm not sure we need to have a whole nother discussion there.
Okay, and that's fine. I'm just trying to understand.
$1 million budget.
If it closes down, we do have to pay the feds back.
No, right? Well, I don't know about that now. I'm not a lawyer, and I'm going to say that I take my chances. We are not in compliance. We're supposed to have a skeleton crew there. We had $496,000 in salary going there.
Okay.
I think I can run the thing by myself, and I'll do it for $150,000.
I know we're tight on time.
And I'll get volunteers out.
What's next then? What's next for city council?
The mayor needs to either sign. He has 10 days from the day we made our decision. He's got 10 days to either put it into action or veto, or come back to us and offer some amendments, other funding sources, just like I asked him to. And I ask anybody, it's public record, go back to the finance committee meeting, find out that the mayor wasn't there first. Number two, that they asked to leave before it was over, and that I said, I want your help. Please tell us.
All right, Councilman Williams, we appreciate you coming in, and if people have specific questions on any of these different 10 budget items, contact you directly or...
Absolutely.
Okay.
You've
always been good about that.
I've got two numbers.
Yeah.
208-7334. My secretary that serves three other council members can type faster than you can talk. That's the best way to reach me. It's 208-7334.
A talented woman.
All right. Councilman John Williams, thank you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
It's an awesome day.
You have 830 FM Talk 106.5. We're coming right back. We'll check news and Dr. Bill's forecast and then talk to Rob Holbert.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 836 on FM Talk 106.5. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Dalton, how are you, big guy?
Hey, I'm doing great. Hope you're doing the same. I know we're coming up on the end of September right now. What kind of deals do you have going on at McConnell Automotive today?
Well, Dalton, what it really means, the end of the month for a car dealer is a big deal. And what we are is extra motivated. So we've got Yukons, Z71s, Acadias, literally every GMC, if you can just picture in your mind, if you're out there listening, I have to sell these 18 models. So what it means is we have 19s coming in. And Dalton, an example is we've got almost $11,500 a real MSRP discount on a Z71. So this is not some fake discount that you hear about in a lot of advertising for car dealers. This is real money off a Z71. And we've got almost $9,000 off a brand new Yukon SLT. So all I want people to do is either call us or Google McConnell Automotive and check these deals out. Because if you've been waiting for the last 6 or 7 months and you want to get ahead, this is the time at McConnell to take advantage and just come steal a 2018 GMC from us. Dalton, we'll also give you a free Yeti cooler or a $500 gas card if you talk about listening to 106.5 and hearing this this little radio show. And Dalton, we've just been absolutely tearing it up with these kind of deals because people are blown away how much money they're saving.
That is some good stuff. We appreciate it, Mitch. Have a good one.
All right, Dalton. Take care.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, and timing is perfect here, too, because I was wondering what he was thinking about all this. I've been reading Dale Leach's updates over at LandyapMobile.com on what's happened since Tuesday with the 10 budget amendments changed to the mayor's budget by the Mobile City Council. And now we have heard from yesterday, Mayor Sandy Stimson joined me on the Midday Show. That podcast, like we said, a lot of folks have been downloading it already, but it's available by go straight to the website and get it. You can also...
Yeah, we posted it on our Facebook page, and it's on Twitter at FMTalk1065Pods.
By the way, make sure you follow that. We have a couple different platforms on Twitter, and at FMTalk1065Pods is just direct feed of all our podcasts as they post each day, so you could just go back and look through that Twitter handle and do that. Or we would love it if you would go ahead and subscribe.
Yeah, it's easier for all of us.
Right, subscribe over at iTunes or Stitcher or many other platforms and get them delivered to you right there. But I was thinking about reading Dale Leach's story, and I was thinking about, man, I can't wait to talk to Rob about this. And then we've had Councilman John Williams coming in this morning to give the council side, or at least specifically his side, of this debate. Rob, what do you make of all this?
You know, it's kind of one of those things. Good morning, by the way.
Hey, good morning, anyway, Rob, good morning. And happy belated birthday, man.
Yay!
Thank you very much. It's but you know, I think it's one of those things where people with good intentions on both sides are probably at loggerheads. You know, I don't think looking at it, there are bad intentions on either side, and I think we have honest people on both sides of the deal, but I think they're having a very hard time communicating with one another at this point. You know, I listen to these things, and, you know, I mean, I see, it looks a lot to me like some of it, certainly, you know, some of the explanations that Councilman Williams had were very, you know, made lots of sense. Some things to me don't make a lot of sense, like pouring that much money back into LAD. You know, I think a lot of it seems like a little bit of muscle flexing, but I think also that the council, I think they're still highly irritated with the whole USA stadium and LAD People Stadium deal that went down, you know,
what do you think about? Because I asked that question of the mayor yesterday. Did he feel like, and he was deft in his answering of it to not, you know, not say yes.
I heard his answer, and he sidestepped it a little bit, politically sidestepped it. But I do think they have some. I don't think there's any doubt. There's some irritation. I mean, put it this way: I've had at least a couple of council people tell me, you know, just personally, they're irritated. So, you know, I think there's definitely some irritation about the way things are. And, you know, we get into these things periodically where the council wants to remind the mayor that this is a strong council form of government. And, you know, those things occur periodically. And often that kind of muscle flexing has worked out poorly for the council. But, you know, you'll have to see where it goes. I mean, there's certainly things that, you know, I think as the mayor said, you know, they'll own these expenditures. They'll own what they did. You know, I mean, it's hard to argue with things like restoring funding to Penelope House, but and it's hard to argue with saying something about, you know, I mean, I get what you're saying about the Gulf Quest in terms of what happens to it in the future, but you know, it was put there. It's run by a nonprofit board. There's people on that board that have plenty of money to fund Gulf Quest, and they should, you know, that's I think there's certainly an argument to be made that there's another funding source out there other than the city.
Well, okay,
you know,
and
it
you
was not supposed to be the city to begin with. It was not supposed to be this way.
Agreed. And you and I have been talking about that. We've all been talking about that on the show for a long time. And I hope I keep doubling down on this because I want people to, they can still disagree with me, but understand where I'm coming from. I'm not saying, I'm just asking questions, not as a rah-rah. If you all want to go back and play the ancient recordings, I was one of the people that took a lot of arrows in town because I questioned Gulf Quest and building that we need to do anything else. I was still reeling from Lanyap stories showing us the debt burden we had from the String of Pearls. So I was not. But what I worry about here, and maybe, you know, Councilman Williams said, well, there's municipalities being sued by the feds everywhere. Well, you know, I don't want to be that. I don't think he wants to be that. If you have a situation, if we're to believe the way it's said, that if Gulf Quest is not meeting it, I really wish I had it in simple language I could understand. What is the meaning of having it open? You know, what fits the, not an A, but what gets us a C with the feds? In other words, a passing grade, because if not, I worry about then not having an open Gulf Quest and having to add another, however, 18, 20, whatever the number is, $1 million in debt service to the city on top of what the city's already paying for the city's share of Gulf Quest.
Well, I don't know all the ins and outs of that, Sean, but I think that, you know, obviously whatever the transportation component of this thing is fairly tenuous. I mean, you can make a transportation component, obviously, you know, the whole thing. I mean, let's go back.
Right. Remember, lay this out. There, I've done this,
but it's high speed ferries there and all this stuff. That's where the funding came from. There are no high speed ferries out there. There's not any in the foreseeable future. That's where the money came from.
People
to begin
forgot
with.
That. So, people have forgotten.
People
that.
Have talked about if we put a bus stop out there, that would satisfy the federal government. So I don't know what that is, what the situation is with that. But you know, the one thing I do know is that the Gulf Quest was a slow speed car accident that was happening, and people were talking about it. You know, years as it was going into and it was being built, and everybody's saying, hey, this thing looks like it's going to be a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were saying, no, we're going to have 350,000 people
than the battleship. More people than the battleship.
You know, I asked the guy, I said, look, you know, that's more than the battleship and other like, things combined.
Yeah, it
you
was
know,
more than really? The battleship and Bellingrath combined, I think.
Right, you know, and so, you know, they were told, the people who were involved with it were told over and over again that they seemed really out of, you know, the pie in the sky stuff was going on here, and the expectations were really high. And then to dump it back off on the city is really unfair. So, I mean, I don't have a problem with that. You know, if it gets cut, and that's the way it is. I mean, it's
but what
tough.
If it gets cut? Here's the thing. I'm with if and Councilman Williams said it. He said you could cut this much, and it's not going to shut down. That's the thing that I don't know. As long as it's not shut down, as long as we stay, you know, in compliance with the feds. Now, I understand. That's why I pointed out last week when it was rah-rah-rah about the floating dock. I think that's cool and everything, but that's to check off a box with federal compliance for the federal grant money that they somehow took from being about ferries to putting a museum in. So,
well, there's also, I'm trying to remember, somebody else is moving into the building as well, so there's that happening. And so, you know, I think there's other funding sources. And, you know, I did talk to some people just, you know, by happenstance, just talked to some folks that were working out there a couple of weeks ago, and they were saying, yeah, we're getting more people to visit.
That's good.
Now, that wasn't any hard numbers or anything, but, you know, does Gulf Quest require, I mean, does it have to be open every day? Does it have to be fully staffed all the time? I don't know the answers to those things.
Okay,
I think that the $27 million is probably, in my opinion, I think Councilman Williams is right on that. I think it's probably I'd probably err on the side of saving $1 million a year or saving $500,000 a year.
You don't think that, I mean, this is, I'm not asking this rhetorically, seriously, you don't think the feds will sue?
I doubt it.
Okay.
This thing has been all but shut down at certain points, and nobody came running around saying we're going to sue you. you know, it's been very lightly used for a couple of years now. I mean, it has not, it never really fulfilled its destiny. So I doubt that's going to be a major issue.
Okay, well, we'll come back. Can you hold on through the news break?
Sure.
Okay, we're coming right back. More with Rob Holbert from Landyap right here on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Sean, Kelly, Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kane with traffic, and Yong. Text line, pop in 343-0106. Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here. I get right back to our conversation with Rob Holbert from Landyap. Just a heads up, have you taken a look at your credit card statement lately? You've been shocked by that ever-increasing interest rate? Well, you know you can actually roll all your credit card debt into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate. Folks over at Lightstream offering credit card consolidation loans from 5.89% APR with AutoPay, lower than average credit card interest rate. I think it's 18% nationally is the average. How about that big drop there? Well, here's how you do it. First of all, you can get your money the day you apply, $5,000 to $100,000. And Lightstream believes people like you with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees. And on top of the great 5.89% APR, you can get an additional discount, y'all, when you go to their website. Go to lightstream.com/Sullivan, my last name. Website, lightstream.com/Sullivan. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, continue our conversation with Rob Holbert from Landyap, and we were talking about a couple of things. I mean, the current debate going on this week between the 10 changes made to the mayor's budget by the council, but it does lead to some historical things, right? I mean, we're talking about the legacy of Gulf Quest, and this is something that is now the debate of the day, but this is something that did not start while Sandy Stimson was mayor. I mean, he hadn't even thought about being mayor at that point.
No, I mean, it is the fiscal chicken has come home to roost with Gulf Quest. It is what everybody feared it would be, and shutting down some of the funding on Gulf Quest, I don't think it's going to shut Gulf Quest down.
Okay.
And, you know, I think I don't know where the federal government comes in and says, this is the point at which we would sue you. But from what I gather, I mean, they're pretty lenient in terms of what their thought process is about this being transportation related, or that, you know, I mean, they haven't come down and said, hey, this museum's not open 40 hours a week and it's not doing XYZ. I mean, it's been more or less a token museum for some time.
I mean, I'd love to have this written out in like regular language I could understand.
Right.
Here are the things that have to be done to stay current with the contract. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you go back and look,
let's put it this way. This is an $800 hammer, okay? I mean, that's what it is.
Yep.
I mean, that's what it is. It's that sort of funding. It's the federal government saying, oh, okay, here's $27 million in transportation expenses, you know, from the transportation department for something that never was really going to be transportation-oriented anyway. I mean, we talked all this game about high-speed ferries, but was there really ever any real effort to put a high-speed ferry out there? I mean, it was a lot of talk, but that was never very realistic. You know, it's just, I think that's what it is, and I don't anticipate there being a big thing. And I imagine if the government did come in and say, we're really unhappy with this and we're going to come back and get $27 million from you, that the city would then have some option to say, all right, well, we're going to put 20 more people to work out there. Then we'd rather do that than get sued.
Okay.
If that were the case, I don't really have a big issue with that. You know, I think you look at other things in there. You know, going back, I mean, the line item, you know, the reduction. As John was saying, you know, that this happened very suddenly, and I get that. You know, but and I'm not trying to be hard-hearted, but there, you know, in business, we don't get warnings that we're going to be down 10% either. You know,
right.
It's not.
Yep, that's what I thought.
You know, you just look up one day and go, oh my God, we're down 10% or you know, whatever. So that's just life. Sometimes you have to cut things and do things, but I also do see why you would say, you know, 10% cut across the board, you know, maybe bears more looking at individually.
All right.
And And, you know, it's interesting. I think I'm pretty sure that the city council increased its own communications person's salary quite a bit since she's been there, too. So they all seem to find good value in their communications department.
Before we run out of time here, I do want to, I mean, I had just learned to say Akinola Papula, and now and now Papula's gone. Yeah, just, I mean, had worked on that, and now gone to, y'all have done a great job with your launch of the Mobile Housing Board. What's the latest part of this? With you talked about it a little bit last week, but it is now, the story's moved on. I mean, we now have an open position again.
Well, they fired the director on Monday, and basically they figured out he had not been there long enough to be able to go through the personnel board and all the usual stuff for hiring and firing, so they were at a point where they could just release him for without cause, although they did name cause, and basically they said, you know, this almost $500,000 that was stolen by Chinese hackers, if you didn't read about that yet, go back, look at it, folks, on landatmobile.com, but and you know, they had a hacker that took about $500,000. They lost, they've had about $800,000 in overages in contract work that also led to another employee leaving. And then the director himself was getting back into things about, you know, he was, according to them, taking taking time off but not registering his sick leave. And then, you know, then they found out that at his old job, he's suing them for $100,000 worth of sick leave that he claims they owe him. So there are a number of strange things going on there. But, I mean, the bigger part of it is it continues to be a problem, and it continues to just not run correctly. And, you know, and even, you know, it's been this way for decades now.
And if people want to read more about it, of course, the new Lane app, which they can find where, Rob?
All over the place. Pink and purple boxes all over, 1,500 locations all over Mobile and Baldwin County. Check us out online at landyapmobile.com, or we will deliver it to the post office, and they'll deliver it to you for $1 a week.
And I could walk out to the mailbox wearing my my robe and my bunny slippers and pick it up, right?
You can do all that stuff.
I'm sure paparazzi will be waiting for you.
there's some ordinance against me doing that in the city, so probably not. Rob, as always, we appreciate it, and we'll talk about this some more next week.
All right, y'all have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Rob Holbert with Land Yap joining us, and we're out.
Yeah.
Be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. The
great discussion, by the way.
Testimony, the hearing in front of the Senate subcommittee getting ready to start in Washington.